Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. And, you know, children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present. One's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing. Okay, the schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in a child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Neither products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Children Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Hour number 3. Holy smokes. Has this day gone by fast? Wow. Okay, first hour, David Shostokas was with us. Explosion, I'm telling you, it's very powerful. Talking about SCOTUS, talking about the Democrats and their Supreme Court Control Act, which is which they actually call, hang on, I'll give you the name, the Supreme Court Ethics Recusal and Transparency Act, that says if a justice has otherwise engaged in conduct that undermines the integrity of the Supreme Court. Is that ambiguous or what? Who decides that exactly? Yeah, that's what I thought. Anyway, so yeah, there you go. But that's a big part of the deal they're pushing. We also talked about the Trump indictment and the targeting of that, and what does that mean? Let's see, we got into several things. So it was a very broad conversation about our constitutional republic, and then followed that up with a conversation. Melanie Collette was with me, and she'll be with me regularly now at 9 a.m. Eastern on Wednesday mornings following David Shostokas. And we had a great conversation talking about her background and how she was raised and why being a female black conservative, what was that like? What did she experience? What did she see? And we had a great conversation about that. And then our last conversation, Greg Shoemaker. And again, I want to encourage you to go to Restore Law and Order, restorelawandorder.com, restorelawandorder.com. They are seeking reparations for businesses that were destroyed by rioters in 2020, in 2016. All the way through the back in the old Obama in the first Obama days. We know Obama's the president again. Let's not fool ourselves. I'm going to be censored now. All right. Anyway, I want to welcome Tiaren Rose Mandelberg, Newsbusters and CensoredTrack.org. And so, you know, funny. So, T. Rose, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you, Pastor Greg.
So funny thing, right? So I noticed this the other day. Had not noticed this. So I'm looking at my Facebook, you know, profile, and as you know, I've had some challenges with them, but they have changed my designation.
Huh.
I am now a digital creator.
Interesting.
And so so I think that, you know, as a digital creator, that's kind of their behind the scenes way of saying, hey, you're on the team. But it's been interesting because that I've not gotten and I have had some disputes with them, which I've sent to you guys, but I have articulated to them where I thought that they were wrong, and so far in each of those instances they have written back and said, we agree with you, and we were mistaken for having flagged you.
Oh wow, well that's reassuring.
Is that crazy? I mean, it's great. Listen, right? If we're going to, you know, be upset when they do something wrong, then we also need to be equally grateful and equally rewarding, whatever, when they get it right. But I just thought it was interesting that I didn't ask, I didn't say, hey, can I be labeled as a digital creator? They arbitrarily determined, I guess, because I post so much material, that, you know, we think this guy might be a digital creator.
Huh.
Yeah, that. Hey.
And then how's Twitter treating you?
Well, Twitter doesn't know that I'm back. So the deal is that my original Twitter account are gone. And I am so severely banned on Twitter that I can't even send them a request for reconsideration. I'm banned from even asking for them to look at my situation again. And by the way, that all has happened, as you know, T. Rose, since Elon Musk.
Right. Which is so bizarre because, you know, people were always saying when Elon Musk hops in and buys Twitter, it's all going to go back to this free speech platform and everybody's going to get their own opinions out and things like that. But it seems like, you know, there's still a hefty amount of censorship.
Yep. I agree. Well, and he's come out and made some statements that are, you know, to that. That lend themselves to that to some degree. So it's kind of interesting. So a couple of things that now tomorrow, big news. And I got to get this out once again. Big news: Susan Katz Keating, Soldier of Fortune writer, who is the one that Radar Online, everybody's talking about. She's the one that did the FOIA requests that gathered the information that states that there are fingerprints that investigators found. And now it's funny because there's cover. And I got to tell you, Fox, in my opinion right now, Fox is throwing cover for them. Because everybody is reporting that, oh, they burned the evidence. Oh, they burned the evidence. Well, according to Susan, that's not true. Because she has direct link evidence of the fingerprints for the person who is responsible. Interesting, huh? Uh-oh. Did I lose you? Oh, I muted you. I'm so dumb. I'm sorry. That was Pastor Greg having a farting, but it was a brain fart. I'm sitting here going, oh, I better make sure that nobody calls in and interrupts us. And so I muted. I am so sorry. What a ding dong. Okay.
Well, what I was going to say is it wouldn't, you know, surprise me if Fox were acting in that manner, because we have to recognize that regardless of whether Fox, you know, allows some truth to come out, they are also pushing particular things, right? They are trying to make money. You know, I see this with when I deal with talking about transgender stories. I wrote a piece a couple weeks ago where Fox was essentially highlighting and honoring a 12-year-old boy for being a boy instead of what he actually was, which was a girl. So it's like, you know, you can't trust any of these institutions now because that this money pops into their head and their pocket. That's their drive. That, you know, which is disgusting.
If I may add to that and then throw it right back to you, but you know, their ratings came out for last night. I guess last night was their big debut of their new lineup, right?
Mm-hmm.
And their ratings stunk. According to Chadwick, who was on my program, he wrote the book Tucker. But according to Chadwick, even Hannity was down. You know, he pulled like 148,000 sources at Fox are telling me last night's much hype primetime reboot was a ratings disaster. Executives are panicked. Hannity lost to MSNBC's Maddow. And the 8 o'clock show only pulled in 149,000 from the key demographic.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, Hannity lost to Maddow?
Yeah, it's crazy. But are we surprised, you know, with what they did with Tucker? I mean, obviously, we don't know all of the nitty-gritty details of that, but you know, what it looks like is they didn't like what he had to say and that he was pointing out stories and facts that, you know, weren't going to help them out or were in terms of numbers, but they didn't like him to say it, which obviously now is indicative of what's happening with their numbers now because they're not doing as well. And even like my mom, who swore by Fox, now she's like, you know what? Like, I'm not all for him right now.
Wow. All right. So, oh my, brand new, just in 17 hours ago, Democrat Attorney General Dana Nessel is leveling felony charges against 16 Republicans that signed a certificate stating that Donald Trump won the Michigan's 2020 presidential election. Each of the 16 people, including top Republican officials, will be charged with the following 8 felonies: 2 counts of election law forgery, 2 counts of forgery, uttering and publishing, conspiracy to commit forgery, conspiracy to commit election law forgery, and conspiracy to commit uttering and publishing.
Wow.
That is insane.
What's her name again?
Dana Nessel.
Wow.
I'm going to do a quick search of her. And then while I'm doing that, I know you had sent me over couple of stories. One of them, International Cycling Group bans trans women from competing in women's races. Thank goodness. Yeah. Give us a little background on that, if you'd be so kind.
Yeah, Pastor Greg. So Forbes wrote this piece last week talking about, it's called the Union Cyclist International, and that's the international governing body for the sport of cycling, like biking, things like that. And shockingly, this group decided that, you know, transgender women, a.k.a. biological men, have what we've been saying, a clear physical advantage over women. You know, their bodies are bigger, their wingspan is broader, they have more strength, they have more endurance typically, which is not to say that women aren't able to compete in these sports, but when a woman is placed up against somebody who has a very clear advantage, just based on their physicality, then it's not fair. It's like the same as people who take steroids. It's not fair for those people to be put in the same category as people who are, you know, naturally training and working hard to get to where they are. So this cycling group, they said, you know what, we're not doing this anymore. We are going to ensure equal opportunities for all contestants. And this happened after they got a lot of controversy because a transgender man or transgender woman, aka man, won the women's tour last year, back in April. So, you know, after that happened, everyone was like outraged, of course, because that's not a guy. I mean, that's not a girl. Same with what happened with the NCAA in, with the, you know, swimming with Leah Thomas and Riley Gaines. Thomas, quote unquote, won, but, you know, obviously he had an advantage because he's a guy. So it's just, it's kind of refreshing to see some places open up. In the same article, they talked about other groups like the World Athletics, you know, saying that women couldn't have a testosterone level above a certain amount, which seems ridiculous because, I mean, everybody has a little bit of testosterone, but when you're pumping into your body, that's going to make you even stronger. Other groups were just saying, you know, there was like a rugby league that said they were going to have their own open for people who were non-binary or transgender. And I'm like, it's kind of ridiculous that we have to have that, but at least it's better than them competing with women. So it's cool to see places and organizations open up. I just wish that in terms of the fact that this is an unfair advantage when transgender men or women are competing.
Right. Absolutely.
But hopefully, yeah, they, you know, gets people off of this fad, I think, of what it is, this trend of being LGBTQ, especially the T and the Q, and gets people thinking back about the real world and what the consequences are of these actions.
Well, and the other piece to this is you know, the continuing narrative. I had Dr. Carol Lieberman, America's psychiatrist, on Monday talking about the psychological damage that is done, you know, through this process. Obviously, we're talking more about, you know, what they're doing to children. But, you know, when you're talking about these competitors, and I was watching an old football playoff game from 1980, my back when my Raiders were actually winning games. But it was you know, I'm watching these guys' faces come up, and, you know, this one's 22 and this one's 24. You know, 22, 20, 24, I mean, T-Rose, that's very young.
Yeah, that's so young.
It's so young.
I mean, I'm 24 myself, and every other day I'm like, oh, what do I want to do with my life? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We're still.
Well, and my point is that, you know, there's a trajectory that follows life, okay?
Right.
When I talk to people about, you know, health stuff, you know, I let them know, and it is study after study after study shows this. How you take care of yourself in your 20s, in your 30s, is going to either benefit you when you hit 60 or 70, and actually determine even if you will hit 60 or 70, quite frankly,
right.
Okay? But it's gonna benefit you in your older age. If
yeah.
you abuse your body, do a bunch of drugs, do a lot of drinking, do tons of partying, you know, all of that kind of stuff, just truly abuse yourself, I promise you, when you're in your 50s and 60s, it is going to come back to bite you. Well, the same thing with the decisions, right? You know, you think about these young people, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, and they are being influenced. Like, I saw a picture, I don't know if you've seen this one, Charlize Theron, you know what I'm talking about, the actress?
Oh, yeah.
Is it Charlize? Charlize Theron. It is Charlize Theron. Okay, so she adopted two children from Africa.
Mm.
Okay, that was nice.
Yeah.
Do you know what she has done with them?
Ransom.
Yeah, she's converting them to girls, as I understand.
I don't know why she didn't just adopt girls if she wanted girls so bad.
I have absolutely no idea. Let me just double check, because I don't want to say something that's not true.
No, I think you're right, but you have to look at the fact that where is this Charlize person? What is her culture? What is her environment? And it's Hollywood, and who runs Hollywood? All the lefties. So, of course, you know, you're going to see that. You don't see people, I don't see typically people at my church who have adopted people or children, you know, change their gender, because that's not their culture. Their culture is to honor the Heavenly Father, which clearly, you know, according to the Bible and literally every other thing, transgenderism is not in line with that. So, of course, you know, it's just like, it's shocking. It's one of those things that's shocking to you, but it's not surprising in the sense that you could have seen it happening because of who these people are and who they honor.
Yeah, the Sun reports, it says that, you know, that she introduced them as boys, but now she's raising them as girls. And part of my point in this, and somebody put this on the social media, and I thought it was an interesting point. You know, I don't see why isn't Charlize transitioning?
Yeah, I know, right? Probably because she sees the harm of us.
I'm just wondering, Charlize, why aren't you letting them cut your body up and change you?
Yeah.
Because it seems to me that you want to be a man, and so perhaps you should just go ahead and do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're going to force these boys to take hormones and to do things to permanently damage their bodies, and they're going to have surgeries in order to be able to fulfill your fantasy.
Right. Right.
Then you should be required to participate.
You know, that reminds me, Pastor Greg. I always thought it was so bizarre when my sisters, their babies would drop their pacifier on the floor, and my sisters would then put the pacifier in their own mouth to collect the germs that the floor gathered, and then put the pacifier back in the baby's mouth. And to me, that was always weird, but it shows that, like, selfless love, that feeling of, well, you know, I would rather get sick than my baby. Well, this Charlize person with all these parents who are, quote unquote, affirming their children, they're showing that they're going to let their children be the guinea pigs of this social contagion, and they're going to allow it to happen, and they're not going to deal with any of the consequences on their bodies because they don't care. They just want to affirm their quote unquote affirm, because I don't think you can affirm a delusion, but they're children. Yeah. So it's just that the parents are no longer parenting. They are performing. They are pushing this leftist propaganda, and it's like,
they're gaslighting their kids. They're gaslighting their kids. Well,
they just decide, the parents are like, oh, we're so sorry, we shouldn't have done that. I'm like, no kidding.
Yeah, but at that point, it's done. Listen, I will close with this. You know, I became an airbag for my daughter as a parent, because as her dad, I believe that was my responsibility to protect my daughter in that car accident, irrespective of whatever the damage might be to me. Right. Now, I did that because of a biblical Christian worldview that says that's what my Father in heaven not requires of me, but it's what he does for me every day. And the least I can do is to follow his example of laying down my life for my child, which is precisely what I did. All right, we're out of time. I've got Reggie Littlejohn is warming up in the blue room right now, green room, whatever room that is. She's there. T. Rose, thank you so much for being with me. Newsbuster, censortrack.org. If you've been censored, reach out to censortrack.org. They will go into the fight on your behalf. And follow newsbusters.org. They've got great, great, great stories going on over there. MRC, Media Research Center. T. Rose, thanks for being with me today. As always, I greatly appreciate it. It was fun.
Thanks, Pastor Greg.
All right, we're going to take a break, folks. We will be back with more. Where's my little clicker? There we go. We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this break.
So up next, we have Clan Slate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And Clean Slate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring, that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
All right, here we go.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And I'm so thrilled to have my next guest with me. She is an expert in understanding. We've talked about this. Dee Dee was with us. We talked about this previously, but I've talked about it a little bit and shown you the website having to do with this. But my next guest is the co-founder of this movement. She is a lawyer. She is an international lawyer and understands both international law and domestic law. And she has been fighting this fight for our personal sovereignty and the sovereignty of our country. I want to welcome Reggie Littlejohn to the program. Reggie, thanks so much for taking time to be with us today.
Oh, I'm great. Pleased to be here. Thank you so much.
So we're talking about the World Health Organization and a portion of this that they hadn't yet, and you'll correct me if I make a mistake here, but they hadn't yet approved it per se, yet our Congress in the NDAA has already said, yep, it doesn't matter, whatever they say, that's what we're going to do. So talk to me about what's in there and why this is so dangerous.
Okay, so there's a lot to unpack in what you just said.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so why don't I start with what the danger is, okay? And then we can move to how it's already been pre-approved in the NDAA. So the World Health Organization started out as a very humble organization in the 1940s that was funded by countries to deal with problems like sanitation or polio or whatever in developing nations. And because it was so humble, no one was paying attention to it. So it has become the arm of globalists to hammer the world. And they've come in while people were not watching, okay? And the way it works is I believe that the World Health Organization is basically an arm of the Chinese Communist Party and of the United Nations, and they are using it to install a biotech totalitarian surveillance state. through two instruments. One's called the International Health Regulations Amendments, and the other one is a new pandemic treaty, which they are refusing to call a treaty, but which in fact is a treaty and really should only be implemented after it has received the advice and consent of the Senate, which hopefully it will never receive. Okay. So this is the thing. The World Health Organization all along and up to this day, and you're right to say that these things have not passed yet through the World Health Organization. They're going to be coming out for a vote in May of 2024. So we need to stop these. I don't think we're going to be able to stop them from passing. What we need to do is withdraw from the World Health Organization. We can talk about that more later in this segment.
Okay.
But what these things do is they want to strike the words non-binding out of the international health regulations so that they will become binding, and the World Health Organization will be able to dictate to all the countries in the world, including the United States, how to handle any health emergency or any potential health emergency.
All right. I want you to say that again, because this is so important, because they have already, I had Jason Shepherd on talking about how they use phony tests, phony positive tests to convince people that there is an epidemic or a pandemic that isn't real, that doesn't exist. And now you're saying, and they've already said, I mean, this is the march. They're on that march right now. Come this fall, you're going to start seeing a whole bunch of people that are going to get tested, that are going to test positive, and they're going to go, oh, see, look, we've got this event. And now the WHO is saying, okay, now, because you've got an event, we get to come in and tell you how to handle that event.
Exactly. And it's not even just an event. It's a potential event. So that it wouldn't even depend on people getting tested and testing positive all over the place. It would just depend on a few people getting sick, and then the World Health Organization says, "Oh no, this is a potential pandemic."
So
it doesn't even, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, so come about September, because it's not going to happen during the heat. Okay, it's not going to happen while they're having a heat wave, because they can talk about climate change in the heat wave. It's going to happen in late September when the temperatures start to get back to, you know, what they do in the fall. And then they'll come out with an announcement and they'll say, we forecast that there's going to be this problem. Am I thinking right with regards to that?
I don't know what the timing is going to be.
Well, I understand, but I mean, but theoretically, that's what they would say, right? Is that kind of language?
Right. But right now, the World Health Organization is advisory, and the reason that we have had their recommendations rammed down our throats, like forced vaccinations, forced, you know, masking, all shut down, lockdowns, all the rest of it, is because the Biden administration is behind them. If we had an administration that disagreed with them right now, what they say is not binding, and our administration could say, thank you so much for your advice, we're going to handle this in our own way.
Right. But
what they want to do is they want to make it so that you have to follow their advice, and it's not just a human problem, not even just a human potential pandemic. It can be animal health, plant health, or the environment. So they could use climate change as an emergency or a potential emergency that they could move in on. And the way that they can tell if we are experiencing some kind of a potential event is through surveillance. Like the new pandemic treaty that they're currently negotiating has a section about how basically through this thing called One Health, and I'll explain that in a minute, they need to surveil all aspects of human health, animal health, plant health, and the environment, which means, you know, with the pretext of health, they are going to install vaccine passports or digital health IDs, which they're already, I mean, I'm holding an article right here that says WHO adopts European-style COVID-19 vaccine passport as part of a new global digital health certificate. Global digital health certificate. So what these things are is they could support the platform for the China social credit system.
I just put stopvaxpassports.org under your name in the graphic. Literally, I heard, add stopvaxpassport. Okay, I'm looking, Lord. Literally, right as you were explaining it, that was just... So, folks, again, stopvaxpassports.org, sovereigntycoalition.org. And don't forget Reggie's very important work, womensrightswithoutfrontiers.org as well. We're not done. I just want people to be clued into the graphic that's there and those three links that are there under your name in the graphic right now. Reggie, please continue. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt your flow.
Womensrightswithoutfrontiers.org. You know, we started out opposing forced abortion in China. We now save baby girls from sex-selective abortion and neglect, and also abandoned widows. But that's, and you know, learn more about that on womensrightswithoutfrontiers.org. But because of my years of watching Chinese-style totalitarianism, I was very alarmed to see it coming to the United States in the form of these vaccine passports, which can host the same functionality as the China social credit system. So in China, everything is centralized into a centralized database on and it's connected to an app on your phone. So they track your, they have facial recognition, they have real-time geolocation, so they know what you look like, they know where you are, they know where you live, they know where you work, they track all your social media posts, they track your internet search history. So if you search for things they don't like, for example, Tiananmen Square massacre, you can get in a lot of trouble. Your internet spending history, all of your spending history, not just your internet, like if you go to the store and buy, you know, whatever you buy, they have a record of it. Okay, your criminal history, your medical history, and if you are a complete sheep, if you are completely compliant, if they can rely on you to do whatever they say and never raise an issue, then right. You can have a high social credit score, and you can live what looks like a normal life. But if you criticize them online, if you take action and organize other people, oh my goodness, your credit score is going to go way down. And you can lose your job, and you can be severed from your credit cards and your bank account. And if people think that this can't happen in the West, remember what happened with the truckers in Canada last year, where they had a protest against vaccine mandates, and the truckers and people who had donated to them were cut off from their bank accounts and their credit cards. So. So anyway, this can come to the United States, and the WHO is already pushing this. The Biden administration, there is a bill in the Senate to create digital IDs. And by the way, please, listeners, understand, this doesn't have to just be called a vaccine passport. The Stop Vaccine Passports Task Force, I think, can take a lot of credit for making those words be radioactive. So they don't call it a vaccine passport. Right. They call it an Excelsior pass. They call it a smart health ID. They call it, any form of digital ID, including even a digital driver's license, can be the platform for the China social credit system and bring it to the United States. So,
and under our system right now, the thing that's being pushed that's kind of a parallelism to it is ESG, right? The environmental, social, and governance.
Right. So this is the thing, Pastor Greg. That can be tracked through this digital health ID. Right. So let's say that they think that you are buying too much meat, or they think that you are flying around too much. Or let's say they think that you live in a house that is too big. I mean, you don't need that big of a house. Whatever it is that they think is you drive around too much. Look at all the gas you're buying. That can make your social credit score go down. Right. And if you combine it with a central bank digital currency, which is a whole other discussion, but those are programmable, meaning that if your ESG score is too low, that you're using up too many resources,
right?
They can make it so the next time you go to the pump, you can't buy gas. Your credit card won't work, or you can't buy meat, or you can't fly somewhere, whatever it is. And if you are bucking them, if you are being counter-narrative like I am and you are right now.
Right now, yep.
That right now, you and I are being counter-narrative, okay? They can just shut us off of our credit cards and our bank accounts. And if there's enough totalitarianism that is issued into the United States, like China,
right.
Okay, they can just disappear us. So yeah. We need to fight this. And you started this question with that it's already been passed by our government, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So this is a great concern. In the NDAA last year, the end of the year, like 2 or 3 days before Christmas, Congress passed the National Defense Authorization Act. That act was over 1,700 pages long. I don't think anybody read it. And hanging in to the middle of it on page 950 was something called the Pandemic Preparedness Act of 2022. And there's wording in that act that says that the United States government must adhere to and comply with a number of international health instruments that are known. But then there's a last category which says other relevant frameworks concerning health. I mean, that's a paraphrase, but that's basically what it says. So we've already arguably. Bad guys can argue that anything that the World Health Organization passes, whether it's amendments to the International Health Regulations or the new pandemic treaty, has already been passed by our Congress
right.
through this Pandemic Preparedness right. Act in the NDAA, and that we have to comply with it. So
let me ask you this from a legal perspective. The legal argument, and I believe I've heard you make this argument, is this is a treaty. This is a treaty. And treaties must be ratified by the Senate. They cannot be passed over through some new, through some side door in Congress. Have I heard you correctly?
Well, or even by the executive branch. I mean, the executive right. branch has been signing what really are treaties through executive orders. This is all unconstitutional. But this is something, Pastor Gray, that I want to get across, which is people say, oh, it's unconstitutional. It's not going to happen. That is not true. This is a power struggle, and people will simply take what they can. The Constitution is not, it can't defend itself. We have to defend it. It's an instrument. The Constitution is like a sword or a shield. I mean, if you leave a sword lying on the ground, you're not going to be able to defend yourself with it. If
right.
you leave a shield on the ground, it's not going to defend you against an attack. You have to pick it up and hold it, okay?
Yeah.
And that's what we have to do with the Constitution. So, people need to get active on this. I just want to say sovereigntycoalition.org. Please sign the Sovereignty Coalition Declaration. When you do that, we are on a program that will send it to congressional representatives, the House representative and your two senators. And we need to keep this in front of them. But I wanted to say also how all of this impacts, could lead to the persecution of Christians.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, yeah.
So a big part of, this is in the Pandemic Preparedness Act of 2022, and also the pandemic treaty. It's called One Health. One Health. Now, and what it says is human health is connected to animal health, is connected to plant health, is connected to the environment. Now, that's true. You can't dispute that. They are all connected. But what you can do is exploit that connection in order to enslave people. So this is what they do. Is that they say it's like mixing truth and falsehood. Yes, they're all connected, but they're using it as a pretext, number one, to surveil all human health, animal health, plant health, and the environment, so that if they see any kind of an issue coming up on any one of those fronts, they will move in and try to take over and to start trying to direct us. But then beyond that, where I see this as being a problem for Christians, or really just about almost any people of almost any faith, is The Lancet, which is one of the most prestigious medical journals in the world, did a series of articles on One Health. And one of the things that they said, and this is a direct quote, is that all health it's not a direct quote. It's closer to all health is of equal concern. All health is equal and of equal concern. The health of everyone, the health of everything is of equal concern. And so what that does is it equates human health. All health is equal and of equal value and equal concern. Anyway, what it does is it equates human health with animal health, with plant health, with environment. So that means that your health and my health and the health of our parents and the health of our children is not worth anything more than the health of a rat or the health of a cactus.
Well, and in some cases, Reggie, I mean, the radical climate change green element has even suggested that humans are the problem and that all these other things, plants and so forth, are impacted by our negligence. And so subsequently, they've even elevated, you know, animals and plants and things of that nature and just, the earth as being more important than we are.
So I would argue that that's a religion, okay?
I agree.
In the Judeo-Christian tradition, we believe that human beings were created by God in his image and likeness. And that is a status that we hold that animals and plants and rocks do not hold. We love our cats, we love our dogs, we love, the whales, whatever, but they are not created by God in his image. They're created by God, but not in his image and likeness. And they are not of equal concern. So what they're doing is, I believe, okay, this is me, so interesting. It just came to my attention about a couple weeks ago. There's something called Bat One Health. Bat, like bats that fly around, Bat One Health.
Okay.
The idea that bats infect humans, and that's why I think that they were so insistent that this was not a lab leak, this was something that came from a bat, okay? Because if it did come from a bat or from some other animal, but I'm talking about COVID-19,
right?
That if it did come, that would be a reason to separate us away from places where we could get bitten by a bat or any other animal, which would mean to move people out of the wilderness, move people out of the rural zones, move people off of farmland, put them into cities where they can be controlled.
Yep, where they can be herded like sheep.
Right, exactly. And where they're completely dependent on the government. I mean, if you are living in a high rise and they lock you down, you are dependent on them for your food.
You're locked down, yeah. And they can flip the switch as far as electricity, water, gas, whatever it is that you need, food, the access to food. I mean, they can flip the switch and shut it off and basically that becomes the end of you.
Right, so that's a way to make people completely compliant on the government. Okay, yeah. Who's going to go up against the government if they're going to be immediately shut off from food and water? Our national sovereignty, our personal medical freedom. Again, the World Health Organization wants to be able to mandate treatments, what you can and cannot receive. So that any if you want to do early treatment, like a lot of doctors have been talking about, you're not going to be able to do it if we are still part of the World Health Organization, they will have the power to mandate vaccinations. So I would hope that they wouldn't do it in the United States the way they would do it in China, but this is the China model, and in the China model, you can be dragged out to a quarantine camp and jabbed against your will. We need to stop this, and the best way to stop it is simply by withdrawing from the World Health Organization. So I would urge everyone to go on sovereigntycoalition.org and sign the declaration to withdraw from the World Health Organization.
And there it is. You see it up on your screen. We'll remind you of it. sovereigntycoalition.org, sovereigntycoalition.org. And you can also, you know, make that phone call. We encourage folks to reach out to their congressional members. You should have their number. Keep that number handy so that you have it right there in front of you. But, you know, 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121. That's the Capitol switchboard. You have one congressional member and two senators. No matter who's listening here in the United States, no matter where you are, that's the case. You have two senators and one congressional member, and they should know your name. They really should know. They should know who you are. It is we the people. It is a constitutional representative government. That's the structure. And it's not them up here and us down. It's us up and them down. They are downstream of us. Please remember that. All rights are reserved to the people. And we give them the power to protect our rights. That's their only job. That's all they're supposed to do, no matter what it is. This WHO situation, the open border situation, the criminals that they keep cutting loose and sending out into our cities that are terrorizing our schools, the ridiculous stuff that's happening within our schools to our children, all of this, their only purpose to exist is to defend our rights, Reggie, and boy, they're doing a horrific job, in my humble opinion.
Well, we need to show them that their jobs are going to be depending on their position on this issue. So, you know, we're coming into an election season. I would encourage everybody to go and meet the candidates and ask them, what is your position on withdrawing from the World Health Organization?
They're there.
And then, you know, conversation for another time. What is your position on withdrawing from the United Nations itself?
Amen. So, yeah, when we need to kick them out of New York. This is ridiculous. We're giving them free rent right there. And that they are not a friend of the United States of America these days. They're just not. And we need to act accordingly. Reggie, thank you so much for being with me. Boy, so much to cover. You did such a great job. Thank you. That was amazing. SovereigntyCoalition.org. SovereigntyCoalition.org. I'm out of time. You've been listening to ChildrenGenerationRadio.com. And coming up next, Texas Fully Loaded right here on TECN-TV. And stay tuned on all of our networks. Thank you so much for being with us today. I'll be back with more tomorrow. Don't forget, I've got Susan Keating tomorrow, and she is the journalist who has the real story on the cocaine that was found in the White House. She's the one that has them freaked out because her FOIA request actually got the fingerprint information that they had, and she has them fully exposed, and now they want to pretend like, oh, we just destroyed the evidence. No, you didn't, because she has the evidence, and we'll have her on the program first thing tomorrow morning here on ChildrenGenerationRadio.com. 9 o'clock Eastern, 9 a.m. Eastern. You can tune in and watch. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. God bless you all. Have a great rest of your day.